used to be called Burma. And I was trying to think of what it used to be this morning. I was telling folks in Sunday school, I kept going to Bangkok. I said, no, that's Thailand. I said, it wasn't Thailand. He said, no, it was Burma. I said, that's right. That's what it is. But their missionaries on their way there. He taught in Sunday school this morning and was a blessing. Amen. Taught a very good lesson in Sunday school. We really appreciated that. And we're looking forward to him coming to share the word of God. But they're going to come, and he's going to come. I don't know what they're going to do. It's your service, brother. But you come, share your ministry, share your burden, share the word of God, and just do what God lays on your heart.
Got a few more people in here. I say a few, I mean more than a few. But I want y'all first turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, because that's where we're going to be. I don't want y'all anticipating that the whole time. So I'll just let y'all know 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. And I say the verse because I have to flip over in my Bible to get to verse 26. So I want y'all to be right where you need to be. So, but before I get started, I have to mention something. My voice. And I know what y'all are thinking. Oh, you're probably sick. The flu's been going around. Trust me, it's not the flu. I probably wouldn't be here if it were the flu. But I have a paralyzed vocal cord. So unfortunately, I sound like this all the time. And even more unfortunately, it only gets worse. It never gets better. So if I get sick, or if my voice is just strained, it'll get worse. But I've had to deal with this my whole life. So it's just something I've gotten used to. I just need to tell y'all this now. So while you're listening to me, you're not thinking, man, I sure wish he'd clear his throat or drink some of that water. Now you know. So now you can pay attention to not how I'm saying things, but to what I'm saying. Amen? All right. Well, I want to talk to y'all about this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 26. And I want to show y'all that as mankind, we have a criteria for who gets to do great things, right? Well, y'all can admit that. In fact, it's kind of my point. Y'all have to admit that. As mankind, we have a certain criteria for who can serve God. And I want y'all to see God does too. But the two are in complete opposition. And I want it to come to the point where we look at our lives and we say, what's my excuse for not serving God? And I want to make that question clear in our minds. And I want you to think about it the whole time we're reading this, the whole time we're going through this. I want y'all to think, what is my excuse for not serving God? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So here Paul is setting up the worldview or the typical thought process of mankind. Here in mankind's eyes are the people that should be called the wise, the strong, and the noble. Right? He says, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So he's setting up this contradiction, right? But first, he needs to outline the presupposition, right? He needs to outline what we already believe to be the case. And that is that the people who are called are noble, are mighty, and are wise. The people who do great things, as far as mankind is concerned, are strong people. We hear stories all the time of soldiers, of warriors. We think, man, that man was strong. Like one of the most well-known warriors in all of history was an ancient Greece warrior, right? By the name of Hercules. And he's lauded for his superhuman strength, right? Right? And we think, of course Hercules is going to do something. I mean, he was super strong. So it only makes sense, right? Right? So then we see here the strong or the mighty, the noble, those who have affluent birth, right? Those who, when they were born, were somebody. Princes, kings. You know, the only person that could become king, really, was the prince. The son of the king. And we see all throughout human history that the men and women that do great things are typically the men and women who are born great, who are already great. Maybe they were born into a great family. Maybe they were born with a massive intellect. Maybe they were born with maybe abnormal strength. But we know that there are legends, there are stories, not just myth, but actual history that says that in order to do something great, we have to have something great. That is completely contrary to what the Bible teaches. Completely contrary. And we see it here in verse number 27. And it says, after it's built up who the world esteems, it starts with a contradiction. But, right? We learn in English that but is a conjunction, right? And it's a conjunction that conveys contradiction, right? Right? But means if I say all of this, and then I say but, the next thing I say is going to contradict what I just said. Right? Maybe not contradict, but have a contrary position. Well, that's what this is saying. Paul is saying, contrary to what man says, God says this. Look, the next word after but is God. It says, but God hath chosen the foolish. God hath chosen the weak, the foolish things of the world, to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. That doesn't make sense as far as we're concerned. It doesn't. Because, you know, in our minds, who should be able to beat a mighty warrior? A mightier warrior, right? When we look at two men debate and one loses and one wins, what do we typically say? Well, the winner was a lot smarter. Right? Right? And rarely do we look at never do we look at a debate and say, oh, he won because he's foolish. No. No, he won because he's smarter, right? But that's not true with God. God uses the weak and the foolish to do great things. I want to tell you kind of about myself. So I was born in North Carolina. Please don't hold that against me if you're going to hold it against me. I was born in North Carolina, lived in, y'all are going to like this, I bet. I lived in Aberdeen, North Carolina. I didn't even know there's an Aberdeen, Maryland. But, so I'm not talking about Aberdeen, Maryland. How many of y'all have heard of Aberdeen, North Carolina? See, nobody. You know why that is? The only people that have heard of Aberdeen, North Carolina are the folks from Aberdeen, North Carolina. So, I was born in a really small town, but there's something else. I was born at the hospital at UNC, you know, go Tar Heels. I was born there and had a lot of major medical procedures there. So, I was a Tar Heel fan because of my mom. And I was a Tar Heel fan because they kind of helped me get things figured out as far as medicine. So I was born in Rice, North Carolina, but I had, for a long time, unequal leg lengths. And I know what you're thinking. He says unequal leg lengths. That's got to be some medical jargon for something. Actually, it's pretty self-evident. My legs were unequal. I love that medicine can sometimes give you super complicated names for stuff. And then sometimes it's just, we don't know what to call this, so we're just going to say what it is. So that's what I grew up with. And I remember I had 12 knee surgeries, thereabout, before I turned 15. was in and out of the hospital all the time. There were parts of my childhood where I'd be in a wheelchair. There were parts of my childhood where I'd have a walker or crutches. Then there were parts of my childhood where I'd actually be walking. So all through that, I remember thinking, you know, God can use anybody he wants. And I thought what you thought, and I know you've thought it, because we all have at some point, but he can't use me. And we look at it and we think, well, you know, this is why he can't use me. And it makes sense to us, doesn't it? But, and I would wager to say it does make sense, because if it didn't, you wouldn't think it. So it makes sense to us that God can't use us, because we have limitations, because we have problems, because we have whatever we might have. But I want to submit to you that these passages counter anything we can bring up. And they say, you have problems, so what's your excuse for not serving God? And that's what I had to ask myself. What's my excuse for not serving God? Well, I thought I had a pretty concrete excuse. I couldn't walk. I had this paralyzed vocal cord thing going on. So I couldn't preach. You know, when someone with a paralyzed vocal cord is called to preach, I can't say that. When I was called to preach, I can't say about anyone else. I remember thinking, you know, I can't hardly talk. Now, that doesn't stop me from talking all the time. I just know that people don't typically enjoy hearing it. But I remember thinking, I can't hardly talk. And God, you want me to be a preacher? Well, I mean, all preachers do is talk. So I don't know how this is going to work. See, it doesn't make much sense, does it? It doesn't make much sense that someone who can't talk, God wants to use them to talk. So I remember thinking, God, I can't talk. God, I can't walk right now. Like, one of the procedures... Well, I'll just stay over here. One of the procedures I had was I had four pins in my leg, like going down to the bone and coming out of the leg. And I remember there was like a machine hooked to my leg, and what it would do was it artificially grow my leg. And it was the craziest thing, because I just remember looking down at it and saying, those pins that I can touch right now are touching my bone. Like, they're not just touching my bone, they're inside my bone. And I remember thinking, you know, there's no way I can do something. I got this whole problem, and I remember thinking, God, you know, what are you going to do with this? And I remember thinking, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I remember thinking that God couldn't use me, and I had a great excuse. I did. I had a great excuse. I couldn't talk. I couldn't walk. So my excuse was pretty good. But you know, that excuse didn't hold up with God. I remember a story in Exodus, Moses, when we always talk about the great hero of faith that Moses was. And he absolutely was. But Moses had some times where he didn't have too much faith. And I think it's easy to criticize Moses when we're kind of doing the same thing. I'm sorry, that was a little mean. But I think it's true. I think, well, when God came to Moses in the burning bush, you remember what God said? He said, Moses, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses was like, God, I can't go up in front of Pharaoh. I'm not of eloquence of speech, right? That's what he says in Exodus. And then he says, I stutter. I can't go and talk to Pharaoh. What does God say? He says, do it anyway. And three times, Moses objects. And finally, God hits him with something that he can't refute. You know what God says to Moses? He says, Moses, I made your mouth. I know what you can do. And God made you. God made each and every one of us. He knows what we're capable of. He knows what we can do. I remember I went to Thailand. Part of my training was to have a 6-month internship to another country. So I chose Thailand. And I remember thinking, I have a paralyzed vocal cord. Well, Thai is a tonal language. And if you don't know what that means that when you say a word, the tone of your voice when you say it changes what the word means. So I remember thinking, I have a paralyzed vocal cord, and I'm going to go learn a tonal language. This isn't going to work out. But I ended up learning enough Thai to have conversations with taxi drivers as I was going around this. But you realize God created you. He knows what He's doing.
Amen.
And we there are things we can't do. Even though God tells us to do it, we can't do it. Because we have a great excuse. I can't give to God. I don't have enough money. Well, what you do have, God gave you.
Amen.
I can't go on outreach because I don't know the Bible enough. You know enough to be saved. But whenever Paul preached, typically whenever Paul preached in the New Testament, all he did was give his testimony.
Amen.
That was it. If you know your testimony enough to be saved, you can help someone else get saved.
Amen.
You can lead some, because it's not you that saves them. It's God.
Amen.
Just point them there. God will figure it out. We think we can't do. We think there are things we can't do, but it's just excuses to not serve God. And you know who's telling you you can't do it? What's the devil? It's him telling you, no, Ben, you have a paralyzed vocal cord. People aren't going to want to hear you preach. And I remember thinking, you're right. You're right, they don't. And I remember thinking, I can't do anything. And I mean, if the weather starts getting a little cold, my knee starts hurting like crazy. And you know, I'm 22 years old. And that's happening. And I remember thinking, I can't do anything for God. You know, what if I go? I'm not going to a cold country, by the way. I'm going to Myanmar. It's very hot country, so at least I have that to look forward to. And I remember thinking, God, you can't use me. And that was just an excuse. And I remember thinking about all that I had wrong with me and just not wanting to do anything. I think that's where we are today. We have excuses. We have great excuses too. I heard a man talk. Y'all might have heard him. He came up. He has cerebral palsy, and he went up to preach, and he told everybody, "I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse?" And I remember thinking, I mean, my legs are fine now. I still got this voice thing, but I don't have cerebral palsy, so I guess I don't have any excuse. And I'm just excited that God has called me and my family to the mission field. We're going, like the pastor said, to Myanmar. It's a country of about 57 million people. The reason I want to talk about it is, one, that's where I'm going. But two, that country is 90% Buddhist. And it's not just 90% Buddhist. It's 90% of the most religiously Buddhist people in the world. In Myanmar, it said that the average percentage of monks is more than any country in the world. There are people that are in the stranglehold of this religion. These are people that are being dominated by this religion. And I know going over there, people must be thinking, Ben, you talk weird and you walk kind of weird. And let's be honest, you're kind of weird. How do you think you're gonna see people in Myanmar leave that religion that they love so dearly and cling to God? Well, I'll just say it's not going to be me. It's not going to be me. Look at verse 29. It says, Paul, after he gives all the ways, all the people that God uses, and the people that he calls to do his work, the weak, the foolish, he says that no flesh will glory in his presence. No flesh. God uses the foolish and the weak so that at the end of it, it doesn't make any sense how they did it. So it must have been God. No flesh will glory in his presence. And when we offer up our excuses, I don't make enough money to give. You realize in Myanmar, They make about $70 every month. They give half of what they have to Buddhism. Half of it. And they're not living off thousands of dollars a month or even hundreds. They're living off $70, $35 a month they give away to Buddhism. We think we don't have enough to give. They find it. They find enough to give to a false religion. We can find enough to give to the God that created us. We have excuses, but I want y'all to see that those excuses don't matter to God. Because it's amazing when God uses mankind in any way. Because remember what Isaiah said about mankind? Well, just our attempts at righteousness are filthy rags. We can't do anything without God. So we, when we do something great for God, we need to remember that we're foolish, we're weak, and God is everything. God is everything. The reason great things happen is God. The reason we see great ministries happen is God. That's it. Because He's using foolish and weak people to do great things. So that in the end, no flesh will glory in His presence. No flesh will glory in the presence of God. So I want to ask y'all, you have an excuse. You're thinking of an excuse. I know we are because I know I did. And maybe you're not. Maybe you're thinking, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll give more. I'll go on visitation more. Maybe you're thinking what you can do. But I know a lot of us in here are thinking, I can't do it for this reason. Well, let me just say, I had my excuse too, and God still told me to go. And my excuse made tons of sense to me. My excuse was, you know, it was great. I can't walk, I can't talk, I can't serve God. But God created you. He created you to do something. And we think that things get in the way, but He created you. The Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows what's in us. He knows what we can do. And He has designed us perfectly to be what He wants. So I want to ask y'all. I want to ask y'all, and I'll be through after this. I want to ask y'all, you're thinking of it right now. What's your excuse for why you can't serve God? What is it? You're thinking about it right now. Well, I want to encourage you, get rid of it. Start serving in spite of it. And you'll see that that excuse was nothing but a lie of the devil. And you'll see that God is greater than any problem we have. God uses broken men. God used a shepherd boy to kill a giant. God used a man that stuttered to lead His people out of Egypt. God isn't a God that uses great men and women to do great things. All through the Bible we see men who barely made it do great things. And that's who we are. We still serve the same God that can do the same thing with the same broken people.